So let's take a look at the New York Times. Justice Department announced 11 arrests in Massachusetts, Virginia, New York, and New Jersey. Scott Shane, national security reporter for the New York Times, has been covering this story. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
This is a spy ring, or an alleged spy ring, that seems to be a throwback to the Cold War. First of all, the details.
Well, it turns out that if the charges are correct, that Russian intelligence services began sending people here in the 90s to sort of burrow down into American society. They were living in the suburbs, raising kids in some cases, had regular jobs, but they were a sort of network of so-called illegals, meaning people who were operating not under diplomatic cover, as often is the case with spies, but just posing as Americans, or some of them as Canadians who had moved to the U.S., a Peruvian who had moved to the U.S., that kind of thing. And their job, according to one of the coded instructions that was sent to them, was to find their way into American policymaking circles. And the questions that were sent to them were kind of political science things, you know, what's Obama thinking, what's going on in Congress, and also some more traditional spying things. They contacted a nuclear scientist, for example, and made contact with him and with a former national security official who's not named.
You know, Scott, in the era of the Bourne, spy movies with all these GPS high-tech, technology, this reminds me of that scene out of the Star Trek movie where Chekhov's on the street trying to find out where the nuclear vessels are. I mean, this really has a Cub Scout feel to it.
It does, although they also took advantage of late-breaking technology, spy technology. They communicated in some cases by embedding encrypted messages in ordinary images placed on the web. And if you had a particular password and some particular software, you could take this picture of, whatever, and crank it through your computer, and you could read the secret message hidden there. That's something called, that's a field called steganography. And they also configured laptops to create what they call a private network, so that all you had to do was sort of, one person could be sitting in a Starbucks with a laptop, and another person could walk by on the street with their laptop, and the two laptops with no one doing anything would sort of hook up, exchange messages, and so it was sort of the cyber age version of the dead drop, although they also used traditional dead drops.
And invisible ink, even.
And invisible ink.
Wow. Who would imagine that would make a comeback? Now, the Russian foreign minister this morning, Sergei Lavrov, said that he thinks that the moment chosen to release these allegations has been done with special finesse. That's a quote. He suggests that he thinks it's an attempt by someone or some group within the U.S. power structure to undermine newly warming relations between Moscow and Washington. And we should point out that as Dmitry Medvedev was meeting with Barack Obama, the FBI was getting ready to pop these 11 people. I guess one is still at large.
Well, that's right. And in fact, that caused some consternation at the White House. President Obama was not happy that the FBI had decided they had to make these arrests right on the heels of Medvedev's visit, which had been very upbeat, and he and Obama seemed to get along very well. But it's funny, last night as we were working on this story, we were thinking, what's the Russian government going to say? They're all innocent until proven guilty, but the FBI has been surveilling these folks, videotaping them, intercepting their messages since at least 2003. So it seems that the charges are fairly well substantiated. So it was fascinating to hear what Lavrov had to say. It's sort of a classic example of when you don't want to address the matter at hand, raise some kind of competing issue. Certainly there's no impression that I have that anyone in the U.S. government would be, eager to undermine the warming relations between the U.S. and Russia.
But let's enlarge the scale here. I mean, okay, these people are living in the suburbs. They're going to Starbucks. They're configuring their computers. They're sort of checking out American culture, whatever. I mean, how is that different from, say, the CIA talking to a U.S. student over in Pakistan who happens to know Urdu really, really well and just sort of asking them, you know, what's your sense of what's going on over here?
Well, I think that's a really interesting question. One of the fascinating things about this case is these folks are not charged with espionage. They're charged with conspiracy to launder money and conspiracy to fail to register as foreign agents. In other words, concealing who they were really working for.
What's the threshold on that legally? I mean, do they have checks from, like, the Soviet foreign ministry indicating that they're working as foreign agents?
Well, they had video surveillance of a bunch of meetings with Russian officials from Russian embassies and consulates and that kind of thing. So they may have that evidence, but they are not accused of acquiring classified information,
right,
at least in the charging documents.
And any indication they came close to American power structure at all?
I mean... You know, the funny thing about this, in a way, is based on a lot of the questions they seem to have been asked by their bosses, you know, maybe they would have done better reading my newspaper and listening to your radio show, and it would have been a lot less work.
Would it be illegal, though? All
not
you out
so
there
far.
Listening to The Takeaway, you're spies, your potential spies trying to figure out American culture. That's pretty interesting. I mean, I guess the question is, on the scale of espionage that's going on today, and we should note, with industrial espionage, the situation with China, if anything, it's grown since the Cold War, not shrunk, correct? Where does this stand?
Well, that's right. I mean, it is a reminder that people, you know, we focus a lot on terrorism and counterterrorism these days. But, you know, the countries continue to spy, continue to gather information. They always have, and presumably they always will.
All right. Scott Shane, national security reporter for our partner, The New York Times, reporting on the arrests by the Justice Department and the FBI of 11 people in Massachusetts, Virginia, New Jersey, and New York, accused of being part of a spy ring, although not charged technically with espionage. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
One of them was caught because he was trying to hide $5,000 in cash in a newspaper in a park.
There you go. Says it all right there.